ti. We're starting a new sermon series. We'll do this sermon series for next week and then the first week of June. We're doing a sermon series called Family Ties. How many people can testify that my family needs Jesus? Amen. And my family needs the word of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians, the letter 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. We're going to start reading at verse number 12 through 17. When you get it, say amen. I'll be reading out the New Living Translation of the Bible. Scripture reads this way. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Then verse 14, Paul says this. He says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. And then verse 16 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Just for a few moments, I just want to preach from the subject title. If you give me some amens, I won't be long. But I want to preach from the subject title, The Pursuit of a Messy Family. The Pursuit of a Messy Family. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. We praise you and we adore you. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. So, Father God, we ask now that you would illuminate your word so that it might heal some, that it might correct others, that it might encourage some others. You said in your word that you sent your word so that they might be healed. And so your word is living, your word is powerful. So whatever happens, we know that something has to happen because the word has went forth. And so we ask, Lord God, that you would take away any distraction right now. We ask, Lord God, that the word will fall onto fertile ground. We ask, Lord God, that the word will fall on ground so that some will produce 30-fold, some 60-fold, and even some 100-fold. Father God, we need a word for our church, our community. We need a word for our city. But today, Lord God, we need a word for our families. And so if we ask that you would just speak directly to our families, speak directly to our husbands, our wives, our children's. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for your word, because your word is always relevant. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my redeemer. Teach us your way, O Lord, and we will keep it until the end. Teach us your way, O Lord, and we will keep it until the end. We praise you, we glorify you. It's in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. We say amen and amen. And then for expectation of the word, if you can, just put your hands together and give God a praise as you take this seat. This week I was listening to a podcast. I won't be long, so you give me some amens, I'll get done. This week I was listening to a podcast with Pastor Ronnie Floyd from Cross Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And in this podcast, Pastor Floyd tells a story about his wife bringing him a big box of junk and asking him to go through it. And even though he knew he needed to go through the box, he avoided it as long as he could. The box sat next to his office desk for months. And eventually he put the box on a shelf so guests would not see the big box of junk. Finally, annoyed by the sight of this box, Dr. Floyd went through the messy box of junk. He timed himself to see how long it would take, and it took a little over 7 minutes for him to go through this box of mess that he had been dreading for several weeks and even months. He avoided going through the mess, but in the mess, he found some treasure. How many know that there's some mess, there's some treasure in the mess? And in the mess is the easiest way to get rid of the issues. And I love this because he had been avoiding it, but he found some treasure in the mess. Sometimes in our families, if we can just be truthful, can we be truthful today as husbands and wives and children and spouses and all of that good stuff, that family business can be messy. Preach, Pastor Jay, I'm doing the best I can already. And family business can be messy. Arguing can be messy. Disagreements can get messy. Differences in goals and objectives can get messy. Differences of disappointments can get messy. I want to go left and you want to go right. Financial problems can be messy. Substance abuse can be messy in a family. Health problems can get messy in a family. Mental health problems can get messy in a family. Disobedient children can become messy in a family. A child that is struggling with their identity can create a mess in a family. Don't get it twisted. We all have some issues at the house. And I don't know exactly what your issue is, but if you are human and if you are in this skin, we all have some issues at the house. So this is the big idea that I want you to take from all of this, is that a God-honoring family requires constant attention and dirty hands. A God-honoring family, a family that would honor God, requires constant attention and dirty hands. It is similar to the young boy that was given the task of mowing and grooming the grass for his family. One Saturday in the spring, the boy spent hours mowing and trimming and pulling the weeds and caring for the lawn. The next Saturday, after all the work he put in, the grass needed to be cut again. He realized that he would have to put constant attention into the lawn. And sometimes it seems like when we get one issue right in our family, another issue pops up. Sometimes it seems like when we get well, when that sickness goes away, the financial crisis comes, when it seems like the children are on one accord, then mama and daddy go crazy. Come on, somebody. It seems like there's always something popping up that causes us for constant attention. But our God of this universe, when he wanted to create a world, planet, and seas, watch this, he spoke them into existence. But let me give you a key about family life. But when he wanted to create man, the word says that he formed him from the dust of the ground. He spoke the planets into existence. He spoke the seas into existence. But when he wanted to start the family, he took his hands and put them in a dirty ground and formed the man out of dirt. Preach, Pastor Jay. And then when he wanted to create the woman, the word says that he took his hands and put them into Adam and pulled a rib out and formed Eve out of Adam's rib. In other words, we have a God who showed us that family business requires your hands to get dirty. There are some things that in family business you cannot delegate. You cannot delegate love. You cannot delegate attention. You cannot delegate prayer. You cannot delegate fasting and praying and chasing demons out of your household. There are some things that you have to get your hands dirty. And so the text teaches us that God will have us to get our hands dirty in family business. This letter from Paul written to Thessalonians was written to instruct this young church on how to function and treat one another. But I believe that the principles from this text are suited for any family of today. Number one point that I want to give you in the pursuit of a messy family is that we have to pursue respect and love as a non-negotiable. Respect and love as a non-negotiable. Watch this. The text, verse 13, it says, I read 12, but I want to get to 13. It says, watch, Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and watch this wholehearted love because of their work and live peacefully with each other. Paul writes in verse number 12 to the church to honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you, watch this, spiritual guidance. Now, let's relate this to the family. In the family, the father and the mother, if you are a single mother, if you are a single father, you have the spiritual authority in your household. Not only do you have the spiritual authority, but you have the spiritual responsibility. And we understand that every family is not cookie cutter, but that does not leave us with the responsibility to lead our families spiritually. Parents, it is your job to discipline your children. It is also our job to disciple our children. The schools will not disciple your children. Come on, somebody. The streets are not going to disciple your children in the right way. It is our jobs to disciple our children. Fathers, it is your job to be the priest of the household and set the spiritual temperature of that household. Do I have an amen in the house? Children must, watch this, children, honor your parents. That literally means to put them in the right place of authority. They are not your friends. They are not your comrades. They are not your buddies. Okay, let me talk to parents. Don't allow your children to take you out of the rightful position. You are not their friend. You are not their comrade. Preach, Pastor Jay. Do I have any parents in here that found out that I have to do some stuff sometimes that my children does not like, but I see their destiny? Come on, somebody. So watch this. We have to understand that the family is in this text. Watch this. The expression of respect in the text that relates to any family, it relates to the church, relates to any family relationship. It means literally to esteem. And esteem means to think and consider in a certain way. Respect comes from thinking about and treating the children, the wife, the husband, as they are children of God primarily. So many times we think that that's my wife, that's my husband, that's my children. But they are first and foremost children of God. They are first and foremost a child of God. Come on, somebody. They are first and foremost a gift from God. They are first and foremost fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And sometimes we treat everybody else better than we treat the ones that we lie next to and that we parent. Come on, somebody. And you cannot forget that they are made in the image of God. I wish I had an amen up in here. Watch this. I love this because how do I do this practically? In my communication, you must remember who you're talking to. That the one way that we give respect, take respect, is how we communicate with each other. And so I must remember who I'm talking to. I'm talking to a child of God. I'm correcting a child of God. Come on, somebody. I'm encouraging a child of God. So always remember in any communication that you are talking to a child of God. And so you can't talk to them any kind of way. And then number two, not only pursue respect and love as a non-negotiable, but the pursuit of a messy family is that you have to pursue the enhancement of each member of the family. You got to pursue the enhancement of each member of the family. Verse 14, it says, watch this. Verse 14 says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. Paul teaches us that in a family, in the church, you can't treat everybody the same. Every husband doesn't need the same thing. Every wife doesn't need the same thing. I'm preaching, y'all. Y'all better listen. Every child requires a different approach to reach their potential. But the text encourages us to build up each member. The church believed that the return of Christ, this Thessalonica church, was imminent. And because of that, they had begun to become lazy and stop working and stop being diligent because they were waiting on Christ. So Paul corrects them and tells them, listen, you need to continue to work and reach your potential in Christ. You can't treat everybody the same. Just in a family, you must build each other up in an appropriate way. Warn those who are lazy, Paul says. There must be warnings in a family. There must be correction in a family. I can't allow you just to do anything that you want to do and never say nothing to you in love. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. And so there must be warnings and admonishments in a family. And then also he says, encourage those who are timid. These are individuals in the family who may be afraid or discouraged. Not every family member needs a whipping all the time. Sometimes somebody needs a word of encouragement. Sometimes I don't need you to always point out what I haven't done, because I know what I haven't done. Sometimes I need you to come alongside me and say that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Sometimes you don't need to spank the child. Sometimes you need to hug the child. You can't treat everybody the same. Watch this. He says, encourage those who are timid. Watch this. Sometimes they need the family members to strengthen them. However you deal with, he says, be patient with everyone. Underline that patient. The scripture teaches us that the betterment of the family takes patience. Scripture teaches us that the betterment of the family takes patience. The Greek meaning of this word is hypomone, which means to remain under pressure. So then, the work of the betterment of the family is not, I'm just going to figure out, I'm just going to let them do what they want to do, and I'm just going to be hands off. No. In the text, the word patience in the Greek, in what Paul meant it to mean, was patience and pressure remain under pressure. So then, the work of the betterment of the family takes hypomone, the God enablement for the believer to remain under the challenge that God allows you to come into the family. James 1, 2, and 4 says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let what? Patience. Do I have some Bible readers in here? Have his perfect work that you will be complete, lacking nothing. Patience is what God uses to get every good thing that he wants to get to us through to us. He uses our endurance and our patience. I know somebody is right now, Pastor, I've been patient long enough. I don't know how much longer I can be patient. I got a splinter in my hand a couple of weeks ago or whatever. And you know sometimes how you get a splinter and it's not a big splinter. And I tried to pull it out, but the initial pull was just so painful. And so I just left it in there. I was like, well, it don't feel that bad. You know, a splinter don't feel that bad until you actually have to use your hand. And then you use your hand, you pick it up, and then you're like, I forgot I got a splinter in my hand. And, man, I did that for about a day and a half. I'm just running around or whatever, and every time I would grab something the wrong way, that splinter would come. But then I would think about the pain that it would cause me to pull that splinter out, and I would say, nah, I'm good. I don't want to feel that pain. But I grabbed something. I don't know. I grabbed something in my office or whatever, and immediately I said, I got to get rid of this splinter. And so I took some tweezers, man, and I began to pull that splinter out, and it was painful, y'all. But when it came out, it felt like I had a brand new finger. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you, that's how patience and waiting on God is. That sometimes the pain of going through and remaining faithful in your family feels like pulling a splinter out. That it's easy just to put your hands up and say, I'm just going to let them do what they're going to do. But the issue will not go away. So I encourage you to remain patient under the pain, patient under the struggle. Keep praying, keep fasting, keep believing, because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So how do I remain patient? It's a child who just don't want to act right. But You are consistent in your discipline and consistent in your love regardless of what you get back. It's when the husband and the wife ain't seeing eye to eye, but that doesn't affect how you love the other person regardless of how they don't love you back. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. I'm talking about biblical patience. You ain't got to agree with it. It's the word of God. Watch this. Watch this. Last one, at least, and then I'm done. Not only do we need to pursue respect and love as a non-negotiable, not only do we pursue the enhancement of each member of the family, but third of all, we must pursue a consistent spiritual character in every situation. A persistent spiritual and consistent spiritual character in every situation. Watch this. Verse 16, the text says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Paul encourages Thessalonians to practice spiritual discipline, but it is how he asks them to practice it that is an encouragement to our families. He says, always be joyful. He says, never stop praying. He says, in all circumstances, be thankful. I'm talking about Bible, y'all. I ain't talking about your feelings or what you want. He says, watch this, always be what? Joyful. Then he says, never stop praying. He says, in all circumstances. Watch this. We need to keep being who we are regardless of the situation. Don't pray just when you need to pray. That the only time your children see you pray is when y'all going through trouble. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. Don't read the Bible just when you need to read the Bible. Read it before you really need to read the Bible. Come on, somebody. Don't quote scriptures over our children when they get in trouble. Quote them over them scriptures when they at home in their bed at night. Come on, somebody. Always in all circumstances. Don't bring your family to church just when you don't have nothing else better to do. In all circumstances. Okay, I'm stepping on some toes right there. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. Help me, Holy Spirit, up in here. We got to be consistent in our discipline. The mess of the people, the family, pulls me to be consistent in the spiritual character even when situations look bleak. I got to be consistent even when the situations look like they will not turn around and they will not change. I remember when Naima, she was a baby. Hey, Naima, how you doing? And I read a story the other day that reminded me of her, and it was about a lady, and she was talking about how when her child was a toddler, when they was about 2 years old, she would go to sleep early, and the husband would stay up a little bit later, and the child had a tendency or a habit of getting up in the middle of the night. And they would get up in the middle of the night and they would ask daddy, and the only way that he could get them to go back, get the young daughter to go back to bed, was to give her a glass of grape juice. And so every night she would get up and come to daddy for a glass of grape juice. Then she would go back to bed for about 10 minutes. Then she would get back up and come back to daddy and say, can I have some grape juice? And the wife figured out that he had no self-control not to give her what she wanted. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm preaching to myself. And so he went on a business trip, and she decided to do an experiment because she didn't want the kid to rot her teeth from drinking all of this grape juice late at night. And so she decided that one night she was just going to endure the pain. And when the baby got up, when the toddler got up, she put her back in the bed. And she got back up again to get some grape juice, and she put her back in the bed. She got back up again, and she put her back in the bed over and over again. 31 times she counted all throughout the night with no sleep. She put this baby girl back to bed. Any parents ever been there before? Have you had one of those before? Amen. That's my firstborn. Amen. Praise God for her. Taught us
Hypomone. Amen.
And then the second night come around and it was not much better. 21 times she had to put her back into bed before she fell asleep. The third night, not much better. 18 times she had to stay up all night to put this baby back to sleep. The fourth night, now it was 9 times. And then something happened on the fifth night. The baby got up and she tried to sneak to the kitchen to pour her own self some grape juice. But the parent had hypomone patience. And she got up and saw the mother, and she turned around and went right back to sleep. So after 5 days, she finally figured out that when she was put in her bed, that she needed to go to sleep. But in the process, the mother had to stay up. The mother had to lose sleep. The mother had to get her hands dirty in order for the child to turn around. What am I trying to say? To have a God-honoring family requires constant attention and dirty hands. That sometimes you got to endure and keep praying and keep fasting and keep loving, even though the situation may not look like that. And I'm talking about our families, but there is a family of God, because there's a purpose in pursuing a messy family. That your family will have some messy situations. Anybody can testify that I can't get out of my family having some messy situations. But there is another family called the family of God, and it was a messy situation. Okay, let me run the table. Y'all remember Adam? Adam, he fell to peer pressure. Eve couldn't control her appetite. Come on, somebody. Cain murdered his brother. Anybody thought your family was messy? Cain murdered his own brother. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was wishy-washy. Sarah pimped out Hagar. Lot hung with the rogue crowd all the time. Rebecca was manipulative. Jacob was a trickster. Rachel was a thief. Moses had anger issues. Samson had a thing for women. Saul was psychotic and depressed and had bipolar. Come on, somebody. Eli was a good preacher but a horrible father. David was an adulterer. Solomon was a freak. But in it all, God got his hands dirty, because 2,000 some years ago, he sent his son Jesus to Calvary's cross. And the Bible declares that on Friday he died. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He died. And on early on the Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave with all power in his hand. Watch this. Every issue in your family will not be resolved, but you do have a Redeemer above everything else, and his name is Jesus. So for everything you can't figure out, he died for that. For everything you can't work out, he died for that. Is there anybody here that says, my messy family, I'm giving them to Jesus? Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. I can't figure this out, but if God be for me, who can be against me? Stand on your feet in this place. Father, we say thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for your power and your love. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that sometimes we look at our families and the situation that's going on with our families. And Father God, we think that we're the only one. Father, we read the Holy Written. There were some messed up families. And we thank God that even in our mess, that we have a God that gives us constant attention. And not only does he give us constant attention, he's willing to get his hands dirty. And so he gave us an example of how to manage our families. He gave us an example how to encourage our families, how to discipline our families, how to correct situations in our families. And we thank you. Father, we love you, Lord God. And we praise you and glorify you. Father God, we know that there are some things that just ain't going to get fixed. But Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are the Redeemer. We thank you, Lord God, that we can point our children to you. We can point our wives and our husbands to you. Father, while we can appoint our extended family to you, and we can appoint our church family into you, we thank you for that. Father God, forgive us for times when we just kind of put up our hands and said that they going to be that way, that it's a lost cause. But you called us to encourage. You called us to correct. You called us to love when nobody else will love. You called us to endure. And you called us to be patient. Father God, I'm speaking to a parent right now. I'm speaking to someone right now, Lord God, that is going through a situation with their child or even with their spouse, Lord God. And it seems like the issue won't get fixed. It seems like it's an issue that won't go away. Father God, I pray that you would enable them to let them know to count it all joy, for through patience that they might be complete, lacking nothing. Father God, that even in our messed up family situation, that you are trying to make us into the image of Christ. You're trying to make us stronger. You're trying to make us know you more. You want us to pray more. You want us to read more. You want us to thirst after you more. And we give you glory for that. Father, we praise you and glorify you. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you would give us the specific application on how to go back in our family situations and apply the principles to make our families better, so that they may not be perfect, but that they glorify you. That all the people in the Bible that I mentioned, Lord God, that they were able to do some good things because they trusted not in their flesh, but they trusted in you. Father God, thank you for putting us in the family of God. Thank you, Lord God, for putting the families that you've placed us together. And Father God, we commit to give your name glory, give your name praise. And Father God, we're not looking for a different situation, but we're looking for the same God. And we praise you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, if you receive that word for your family, if you speak that word, if you can, just come on. Come on, just open up your mouth and give God a hand clap of praise. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you need to be engrafted into the family of God, and know you won't be perfect, amen. The Bible says,